Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 240. We're back this week, James. Chaos and Zolder. We're going to talk about it all. Bro, get your winning starts at the great gate. Zolder has a great gate, but the turns are very, very suspect at this point.
It's crazy. You know, it doesn't even feel like it's been a long time, but it feels like a lot's been happening this last weekend in Zolder, and it has nothing to do with the racing, all to do with the track and the turns. But thank God they got a Pro Gate Europe. You know what I mean? Thank God they got a fast, reliable Pro Gate Europe. That's the one consistent thing they have going for them that I don't think many people were complaining about that Pro Gate dropping, you know? Just saying.
No, there's a great picture on the side of the hill also there.
That's a good one. Your favorite. That's one of your good photo. People might not recognize who it is, but it's some Canadian guy, you know, raced two Olympics games. He's a BMX coach now. You might know him as Terrence, Terry, or Tory. I don't know how you go by, you know?
You know, it's weird. They mirrored it. So it shows that I'm jumping right foot forward.
That's a classic one. They, you know, try to make it look like it's not that guy, but it is that guy.
I wonder why they would switch it.
Good question. What does it look like? I can't remember what it looks like on the side of the hill. Maybe it's the angle. Maybe it's that.
Actually, I think they mirrored it.
I think they do that sometimes. But maybe then they can pretend like it's not actually yours, your photo. Maybe.
I don't know if I'm still on the side or what, but yeah, just remembered that. Starting off my clinic tour this week, going to be in Vernon this Friday and Kelowna Saturday and Sunday. So looking forward to being in a beautiful BC.
Come back to Canada, baby. What a time to be
baby.
Alive. It's springtime. Know. You know, there's still sunshine poking through right now, so it's a good time.
Let's hop right into Zolder. So it came across my desk this morning. Many elites not happy with Zolder. Saw some people didn't race Sunday. Obviously, Zoe ate it leading the first day.
That
in
was
the second
a tough
corner.
Final for them.
That sucks. Her and Merrill 1-2 and eat it. Good job, Maylene, getting the win. Great lap. But yeah, it looked a bit chaotic. So when I watched it, I thought just because it's raining, it was slick. Mm. But from what I saw come across my desk Monday morning, it would lead me to believe otherwise.
There was a lot of people that seemed not to be happy right now.
I was happy.
I was trying to get the down low because obviously our guy Sylvan was supposed to be there racing. I don't see him in the final the first day. And then I checked social media, saw his Instagram post, and he was like, I think he was driving back to France like that night. And I was like, what the hell's going on here? Like something doesn't add up right now. So I was trying to figure out what was going on. And he was saying basically like it was super bumpy. Like I don't know if you remember that first turn could be quite bumpy. I think all the turns probably.
Yeah.
But he was just kind of giving me a little rundown of kind of all the shit they're dealing with. And he's like, he did like 1.5 laps, not even, and was just like, I'm out. This is ridiculous. I'm going home.
Seriously? He didn't even race?
Yeah. I think it was partly like, that's his first race back. He's still getting through his injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
I don't blame him.
That wasn't the surface he wanted to be pushing his limits on with that injury going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a broken arm, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be riding those turns that are a bit dicey, and you, the last thing so you want if you're still bad is to slide out and fall on your arm.
Right. And I think it was partly to do with the bumps too. He said something about like, it was so bumpy. Like the shake he was getting on his arm was next level. So he's like, it's just not happening. So.
So why was it so bumpy?
I don't know.
Like worse than before.
I think like over time, like it's not going to get better. Right. Like if you remember, we raced those turns how many years ago? And like that track was good, but do you think they really have maintained it? Have they done much? How old are those turns? Like I bet you those turns are super old, right? And it's like they get a lot of rain there. They like get a lot of weather. The more weather they get, the worse they're gonna get. And I think the combo of just like from turn wise, I was getting a lot of or reading a lot about like how people were complaining about the bumps and then how dirty they were. And so when they're wet and bumpy and dirty, you're just gonna slide out instantly.
There's no so like there's probably like gravel and like that granular shit all over the corner.
I guess. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
God,
like just
dicey. That stuff is so dicey because they have that stuff on the surface, don't they?
The gravel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
like the crushed limestone, like the crushed limestone type stuff.
Similar, probably. Yeah, I think it's similar. Some kind of sand surface there. Yeah.
For those people who haven't rode on that, we ride on that at Abbotsford all the time, or we did. It's really sketchy, like especially on the jumps into the corners, because usually like a paved corner, you can like land and kind of be turning as you, land to set up for the corner. If you do that, you'll eat shit instantly.
Yeah. Oh, you'll just so quick.
Yeah, you'll lose the front easily. So you have to literally jump into the corner, go straight, and then corner, and then turn. Sorry, so you don't slide out. So that can be super dicey. Didn't they redo the second turn a few years ago?
They redid it. Yeah. So they added more to the top and whatnot. And like that there are a lot of crashes there. I don't know if they were crashing on the new asphalt surface, like where the new level surface was or what. It's hard to tell. Nobody pinpointed being like, this part was terrible. It was like, if you look at take Zoe's post, for instance, she's talking about how slippery the corners were and the asphalt and stuff. Like it's just very old asphalt. So it's like, I think it was just the general consensus that there hasn't been maintenance on this track. Like there were updates for the Worlds in 2019, but clearly they aren't great. It's it's dirty. If it's raining, it's slippery as shit. Like it's bumpy, like all of the above. Like they obviously just don't care. And they're racing a year around on that. Like that's the biggest event in Europe other than the World Championships, right? Or I guess Euro, mm-hmm. Euro champ. So.
Mm-hmm. So I do have this thought. I don't know what you feel about it. We race way worse tracks in North America. Like not even close. So although I do sympathize, I'm also kind of like, well, maybe we have to take this with a grain of salt, considering what the tracks they're really used to riding in Europe, which are really good.
Yeah.
Dude, some of the tracks in North America that we've raced and still race are crap.
Are we talking the USA BMX tracks?
Yes.
That's very true.
Some of the same thing in Canada. Some of the tracks we race for Canada Cups are complete crap.
But
I know it's not Supercross, but I'm just saying, I don't know if it was actually that bad. And obviously I haven't raced there. I'm usually on the rider side, but there's a part of me that's like, well, I don't think it was, I probably wasn't that bad.
We wanted to get Sylvan on first off this week. We wanted to try to get a European on. Timing was not our favor because of a little bit of a move going on right now. But I want to hear, and I would have liked to hear from someone there. Because then we can really dive into just how bad it was and not feel like we're just fucking piling on to what the comments say right now. That's what we're doing. But, I mean, if you think of those tracks we race, on the USA BMX, some of them are just so old school, small and whatnot. It's not world-level track, though. I don't go there thinking, this is a supercross track that's top-notch good. You know what I mean? I feel like you go to Zolder and that's what you should be thinking, but it's not.
No, but okay. Say the pros. I keep saying we. We're racers at heart always. So say the pros. Say Zolder's in the U.S. and they race Zolder. It's probably not the greatest, but it'd still be one of the best tracks you race in the U.S.
Sure.
On the pro circuit.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's fair understanding. But
is the what I'm trying to get at is like. I think the standard in Europe is much higher because they have some world-class tracks, truly. And that's what I think Sylvain was referring to in his story, I believe, this morning. Mm-hmm. He said something like, by the way, Sylvain's social media check-in, said something along the lines of, there's so many good tracks in Europe, why are we racing here? Paraphrasing.
Yeah.
We have that same argument in North America, though, too, because you look at a lot of tracks in Florida that look sick. I don't know, you'll see some random video on Instagram wow, this track looks pretty sick, why don't they have a national? But there's so much more that goes into it. I don't know how they do it per se at the Euro Cups, but obviously USA BMX circuit specifically, there needs to be, the track has to want to, for one. There needs to be room for parking, there needs to be room for the vendors, there needs to be room for staging, people to sit, all that. And you also need to have amenities around, hotels, restaurants, whatever. I was talking to some track operators last year when I was doing my clinics. Sean Coleman, he's the operator for Lincoln Park, a track in Northern Washington.
Right, okay.
And he was telling me, especially even with their state race, because it's a small place, Port Angeles, there's not a whole lot of place for hotels or Airbnbs or anything. So I don't think they could host a national because there's not a place for people to stay. So that's all stuff to consider. Now, I'm not saying some of the tracks couldn't have the national, but those are reasons why some so-called better tracks might not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the side of things that we don't see, like the riders really don't think about, but that's not, kind of not their, they're not worried about that at the end of the day. So who cares for them? Right. They're worried about the track only. They're just worried about what they race on. I see that it's like, it's going to be a lot of logistics on where the track goes, but I don't know. I think that give them a lot of credit for actually saying something, you know what I mean? Because we're talking about the tracks in the US. You go to Rock Hill, one of the best facilities in the world, except they absolutely botched the turns by putting a coating on them. And no one really said anything. Everyone said everything to each other. No one went out there and just said, this is a joke. What are we doing racing on these turns that are just like ice in the rain? And then you go to like other tracks where it's like, you look at, let's say Louisville, like supercross track. That's not a supercross track. The jump in the first turn, you could pedal pump the whole thing at full speed, probably pretty comfortably. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever says anything about it. I don't know if they just don't want to disrespect people or they just don't give a shit. Maybe they don't. I don't know. The Euros clearly care a lot about what they're riding on, and they care about like their package, and they actually say shit all the time. And I like that part.
I think their standard is much higher also. Where you North Americana used to racing on these dog shit setups a lot of the time. So we don't complain. Like you kind of just roll up and figure it out and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, I feel like there's the difference in the BMX image there, you know, like that the US side is still like, this is just BMX. We're just going to go race whatever the fuck we get dealt with. Basically the Europeans are like, well, we have a standard now. Like this isn't up to our standard anymore. I don't know which I like more now that I think about it. Like I appreciate people treating BMX racing and treating it as professionally as it can be, because I think it's one of the coolest sports when treated that way. But I also look at it the same way when it's like, it's just a down to earth sport, it's BMX, in the sense of like, who gives a shit what you're riding? Just go race people on it.
I don't think some Europeans would feel if they came and raced some tracks in the US that we've raced.
Oh, they would absolutely hate it, dude.
Oh my God, dude. Some of the tracks, there's no way pro should have raced.
Just send them to Rockford in that first turn, see how much fun they have.
Or like just so many tracks that are just, there's no way there should be pro racing. They're so outdated and like pros still race them today.
What are the worst, I don't want to call out tracks, but like what comes to mind for you? I'm not trying to call it a track. What comes to mind for you when we're talking supercross tracks in the US that just aren't up to par?
Oh, like, supercross, you're obviously...
We're limited, right? Yeah.
I think all the supercross tracks in the US are honestly pretty good. Like Rock Hill is historically really good. I mean, obviously the corner is a bit slick now, but generally really good. I would say Houston. I've never personally rode it, but...
Oh, that's when nobody said anything at that Houston. Dude.
Okay, so I know no one likes it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, I don't think there's anything glaringly wrong with it. It makes for really good racing. Just a lot of people don't like it, which is different. Okay. Like, not liking it and being crap for racing, I think, are two different things.
But do you think Zolder's crap for racing if the turns are shit? Like, people are complaining about the turns being shit because they're not, like, maintained, they're slippery, they're dirty.
Then, yeah. I'd say it's probably not great for racing if it's like that. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
I think Sarasota's good.
Sarasota's fantastic. I think Oldsmar's fantastic.
Oldsmar's really good. So I think the Supercross ones specifically are really good. There's a lot of normal hill ones. I mean, we could make a shopping list of ones that aren't very good.
That's true, though. That's different, though. I feel like that's different in my opinion, too. I try to very much separate a small hill track from a Supercross track, and I think that my standards differ a lot for those two styles, too.
But it's the same, it can have the same problem even if it's a normal hill or a supercross hill. Like if the corners are crap like that, it's going to be bad for a normal hill too. It's magnified on supercross because you're going faster, obviously.
Right. But. Yeah, right. So it was hard to find a ton of videos. Like I watched 15 BMX's video of like all the people sliding out in the turns, and it really does look like they're just on oil slicks. Like they're just sliding out of absolutely nowhere. It's really weird.
Was it because the rain, or that just magnified it probably?
I don't have one thing, like I said. Like I think it's a combination of like that sand probably has washed onto the turns a bunch from tons of amateur riders riding on it.
Yeah.
In the rain. The rain just, the mud gets all over the turn, then it dries out, and then it gets wet again. There's sand on it, and then people are just basically on ice.
God, does it ever just not fucking rain in Zolder? Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, we gotta lock that place up for big races, like, dude. We're done there. We're done.
As a sport, can we just not go there anymore? It's served its purpose. Nobody, like honestly, nobody likes it.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody likes that place.
I don't think so anymore. I don't even think I did when it was like back when it was
no.
that kind of dude, good nobody. Small tech track, you know?
Ever hear it? I just love this place.
You
this
did place back in great. The day. You did.
I fucking never
don't
liked that
even.
Place.
You used to be like, that's a great racetrack. You said it's a great racetrack all the time.
Okay, time out. I never liked it personally, but okay. I thought it was good for racing.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. We got to separate that. That's okay.
But like when it was tech, when it was kind of tech and you couldn't go full speed more or less at everything, I thought it was good for racing. There was a lot of passes, I think pretty fair, wide, like good pass on any straightaway long last straight. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of like wide open first straight, but then techie everywhere else. I thought it was good for racing, but I never like loved it.
I wonder if like if it's really just the turns, like can we just get a full re-asphalt of these turns, and is the track back? Are people happy with it again? Like, I wonder if that's legitimately the reason. I do think, I saw a comment about the grip, the grading up on the start gate. I think that's some of the oldest pro gate grading in the history of that grading. Like that, I think Zolder was one of the first places to get that stuff, and it's been there since before they even had the roof over the top. From what I remember,
I think that's a pretty easy fix too.
So all they need to do is just get a new layer of that or a new which is that would help a lot. And then I mean, it's a big job, a lot of money with re-asphalting the turns, but you do that, I'm sure people are happy again.
That is a lot. Yeah, that is a big fix. But if you're going to have big races, I think you need it. Yeah. Do you think like people are I know people are faster in general now. Like every year people improve get faster in general. The track is way fucking faster now. Like you can just go balls out everywhere. There's nothing to slow you down. I don't know if on a track that size-ish, I think that's part of the problem.
Solder BMX track is turning what happened to like the actual circuit. You can't race F1 cars on that circuit anymore. Well, we can't race Supercross on this track anymore.
I was watching the video thinking, holy shit, these guys are going fast. Like you can just blow through everything. There's nothing that's kind of slowing you down. Whereas I feel like before, even though years ago, obviously everyone wasn't quite as fast as now. Stuff slowed you down. Like stuff was pretty steep and peaky and you couldn't just pin it everywhere. You had to take more care. I think that makes a difference also. You weren't going as fast into the corners.
Yes, 100% true. There's and let's be real, they're not going that much faster now than they were 2016, 17, 18 when we raced there, right? So like there's not a huge difference, but the jumps were definitely different. Like that first jump, huge difference. Like that was a big slowdown jump. It was kind of like a double slash. They turned into a triple at one point. Then the jumps down the second straight were that small one. Well, they're all three were quite small, but they were very high up. So you lost a lot of speed, comparatively speaking now, where that first jump is just like ground level, which is a good first jump, but you gain a lot of speed off of it. And then you come down the second straight and you just keep that speed going. And then the same thing in the third straight where there's nothing like that one before too, that third straight, like you had to be pretty precise.
It's hard.
There was jump on, jumps off, jump offs kind of thing. So it's just a really fast track now.
I know, like especially the third straight now, they can just blow through it. Whereas before it was quite hard.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that might play a part in it. Like, you know, like the track has, the turns aren't set up for what the track is now and this, what's going on with the riders.
No. And I think there's just been too many races there. I mean, they obviously just want them, but man, it's been a lot. I think
is one a year too much there?
Oh God. Yeah. I don't want any more there.
You think the Formula One guys go,
they're going to take me off the hill. Now they're going to take me off the hill.
We just get a DM that's just like
they're just peeling me off the side of the hill now.
We can't have this guy out there. He doesn't like Zolder. No. We'll take him off.
Can't be on there.
Do you think like F1 guys though, like do they go to the same tracks over and over, and are they happy about it? They're going to the same place?
No, for sure they bitch about a lot of tracks. No question.
They just put up with it, right? Yeah.
It kind of, honestly, on a small, it's kind of the same thing in the sense that like if the places for F1 or BMX, they pay for it and they want it, they'll have it. So it's the same concept, I think, obviously different scales, but.
Right. Huh. It is like a classic iconic stop. And if we had like a series that was there was so much history that you could just like, I guess now I was trying to think history, like you could just watch it over the decades, you know, what happens and whatnot. But the track changes so much that it's like if you look 10 years ago, the track would look so much different than it does now to me. Except the only thing that might look the same is the turns, because clearly those are built way too long ago.
That's a common trend. I feel like over the years, tracks will upgrade their straightaways and just leave the corners, and then they just slowly become way too small and tight over time.
You know what? You think, okay, this might be a little transition into the Olympic track, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. they obviously built that track and left the turns. Those turns have been around for a good handful of years at this point, hey? Probably 8 years at least, I think.
Yeah, I don't know when the center was built, but...
Yeah, let's,
yeah, maybe about that, yeah.
I'll say, 6 to 8, somewhere in there. Yeah. Are they getting to the point where that they're too old? Like, is it going to be a problem if it at the O show?
Doesn't look like it.
I never think they are, but yeah.
But think about the first turn at the Beijing Chula Vista track when they first built it in like 08 or whatever. We raced there in 09. It was like the biggest turn ever. It's like, oh my God, you almost get lost in it. Now you almost fly off of it if you jump the triple into the corner and go hot.
And I don't understand how that happens where you can like, I don't remember anybody saying that from back then. Nobody even said like, oh, it was small then. It was always like, that was the track. And now you're right. That thing feels mellow and flat. If you go ride it, you're like, dude, there's no bank to this thing.
Yeah, everyone just gets way faster and better, honestly.
Yeah, wild.
But no, I think the turns in Paris, I mean, it's been a few years since I've been there, but I think they look fine.
They're acceptable. I think they're good. Yeah, they're fine.
The last one's a little flat, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, which is good because it makes you tiptoe a little bit, keep the inside a little bit open probably.
Which, you know what? Not every turn has to be a perfect bowl. Like you can have some flat or wide open corners.
Yeah, the more perfect it is, the easier it is to ride. So in the sense of like you can protect your line easier, you carry speed easier, all this stuff. So it makes it tougher to make moves. And the harder the turn is, the more skilled rider comes in and can make a move in the turn.
At the last corner of an O-Show, a flatter, more open turn is exactly what you want. You're going to see some stuff in there.
We want action. I was thinking about it. So obviously Paris has the roof over the building and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. I was like where they put the stands first off, because if they build up like the normal Olympic style stands where they're very tall, you're going to have a tough time seeing the start gate from the top of the bleachers, wherever the stands end. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I would love for them to somehow enclose the space a little bit, you know, like maybe put like curtaining down from the roof so that it feels like more of a stadium atmosphere. Obviously with the roof and whatnot, I feel like you can do that pretty easily. What do you think?
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, the stands at the Olympics are huge. Yeah. I don't think they're going to fit on the sides, are they?
I don't know what they're going to do. Cause if you think about it, I remember them putting the stands outside where the roof was before, right? Like along the last straightaway, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like they couldn't go very high because it would be tough to see the start hill.
Right. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, they're probably honestly just going to be limited capacity. What they could do, which would be sick, is just open the infields on between the first, second, third, fourth straightaways. And then just make like a standing room only pass where people could just go and stand there and watch. That'd be sick. So you have people all around in the bleachers, but then you also can have a standing ticket if you want.
That would be sick for the fans. And I think like for the atmosphere, like if you saw that live, I think that would look really cool.
So there's people everywhere. And you could also, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe you could do a standing room along the amateur first straight.
Yeah, probably. Cause I think that whole straight's blown out. Like they don't have an quote unquote amateur straight there. They don't think there's any jumps or anything. So you could definitely do that for sure.
To be honest, I haven't even noticed. Do they not have it anymore?
I don't think so. It's hard to see. Like I was just looking off people's videos, obviously, and classic thing, you know, just trying to scope what's around. I don't think they do.
Let me go take. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
I'll take a quick peek around again, get back to you, you know? But yeah, otherwise, I think that track looks, let me see. Oh, here we go. Good clip. Yeah, no jump there. Yeah, it's all flat along the side. Oh, okay. Maybe there's a little bit of a lip on the outside of the triple on the amateur side, but that's about it.
Why'd they get rid of it?
I don't know. Probably just access. They don't need it. Track was getting changed. O-Show, like, let's make this thing pristine.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Have you seen videos of the track?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. How do you think it looks?
The second straight guy's not a fan. It's really small and basic and just like same as the women's, just a tiny bit bigger. Mm-hmm. I think the Olympics wants it to look equal. I don't think they want a division between the men and the women, is my theory.
Okay.
Because look at Tokyo's track and look at France's, like pretty much the same.
Right.
The third straight, I don't think it looks as technical as before.
No, I was kind of upset about that part. Visually, I saw it and I was like, wow, like this looks interesting. But then it's very basic. Like people are really just going like, I think it's just like 2-2-2-2-2 jump into the turn.
The last straight looks decent though. Looks decently tech.
A couple lines too. Like it seems like there's going to be interesting that last straight. There's like a roller to like this, I don't know if you want to call it like a step table thing right at the end of the track, but it's like you could almost triple over that. And I saw some videos of guys tripling over it. I don't know if it was the race line yet, but that would be pretty cool if it was like a save like point a tenth of a second or something just in that one jump.
Yeah. So it's more of like an old school BMX track, I kind of feel like, in the sense that there's nothing really big, nothing really that hard. You just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. That's kind of the way the tracks are going these days.
Yeah. And not that it's a huge deal, but first Osho with a left-handed or a right-handed first corner.
That's a huge one, you know. Let's claim it.
I mean, not that it matters whatsoever, but yeah, it's just interesting how it's always left. I don't know why that is. Yeah.
I literally think it's just luck of the draw for us, dude. That's all it can be.
There's no reason why it shouldn't be.
This isn't motocross. We're not worried about breaking into the turn.
No, but I think maybe from its roots, maybe that's why.
I don't think anybody once has thought about that. And it's making the track being like, oh, this has to be left because moto, we try to go left. I think it's just like, this is the land. And I think they would give the track, the land or whatever, the track builder, whoever was designing it, saying, here's the layout, build us a track. And they would just, I think that's just the natural thing to just, to go that way.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that.
No idea why.
Not a clue.
No.
Just guesses.
All right, let's get into some future headlines here. We got a future headline segment. We're going to say a future headline, then we're going to discuss if we feel like it's going to be true and false or false and why.
Love it.
All right, we're coming in fucking guns blazing to the first one. 2024 is Elise's last opportunity to win the world championships. Rock Hill, it's where she's done it before. I think her and Sam are staying in Carolina now until the Worlds.
Oh, training at Rock Hill. Shit.
So I think they're going kind of all in on it. I think yes, because also she's 33.
Okay.
So and obviously with Beth and Saya and a lot of young women coming up and winning a lot, I do think this is the last opportunity for her to win a world.
I'm going to say no, but I do think this is like the last big one that like she really has that opportunity to win. Because I think she keeps racing after. I don't know what it is. I just feel like she doesn't stop after this Olympics. I think she keeps going. She might go to LA. I don't know. She's got a feeling, weird feeling about that. So, and I think if she's racing worlds, like I think she has a very good chance to win. But I think she has a better chance to win at this one. Yes, but I'm going to say no to the statement.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Zolder has run its course as a host track for elite racing.
Stamp it. Yes.
Couldn't agree more.
It's time. It's had its moments. It's been great in the past. We've had great races, great world championships was held there 2019, a great one in 2015. It rains a lot though. Both of those were rain races. Turns aren't up to par anymore. It just looks gray. It just looks gray there. We're done. We're good. We can move on.
It's been 10 years, almost 9 years, 10 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Let's stick a fork in it.
Let's stick a fork in it for at least 3 to 4, just like we did Argentina. So when we come back, it's like we're bringing it back.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Team USA qualifies 3 men for the 2028 Olympics. This is a fucking good one.
That's a bold one. What do you say?
I think 2 for sure. 3 is going to be tough because you have to, France and who's the other country getting 3 right now? Colombia?
Yep.
France and Colombia. So you're not going to outperform France, which is probably not going to happen. Well, I guess you never know, but I would say generally not. So you know what? I think it is doable because, let's see, you have both cams and then you just got to get someone else to step up really. Because you need 3 guys. Here's the thing. You need 3 guys like making mains and podiums and win.
Yep.
Basically. To get three spots.
So who's the country that's going to be getting? France is going to be that one country. Who's going to be the second country having 3 guys getting that?
Could be the U.S. because Cam Wood obviously has won World Cups.
Yep.
Cam Larson now is podium. Is he podiumed?
Yep.
No. Yeah. He is podiumed. Yeah. Right. He's gotten a main and a podium this year.
Not at the World Cup.
So he's on the
final.
Jay Smooth
podiumed.
Oh, right. He made 2. Oh, right. Okay. So Cam Larson made a main in New Zealand and made a main in Australia.
Yep.
Hasn't podiumed yet. For some reason, I thought he podiumed too.
Yeah. No, it seems like he did because he's on the verge of that right now. He's trending very well.
Jay Smooth got 3rd. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Jay Smooth, obviously, he's got on the podium. He's older, though. So he's what, your age?
Yep. So he's turned 30 this year.
Uh-huh. So he's going to be 34 at the next one. That's old. So you, but then after him, like,
you got Joey coming up. You got some youngsters coming up, but I don't know if that's too.
Joey, yeah, I know. It's kind of like,
I don't know if the gap's too big still to the group under Joey, too.
I think they're a bit young to step up and like be that good.
Yeah.
The next kind of crop. I feel like perhaps 2032 is more realistic for a lot of them.
Hmm. But who's going to be the other countries competing for that? I think Colombia is still.
Carlos is getting older. Carlos is getting older too.
I mean, I agree, but I think Diego's not. I think Carmona's not. And I think they'll have somebody else. I think they have too many guys that it's like they won't have somebody else sliding in like Carmona did to just like just be that guy.
Swiss might be.
Oh, yeah. Swiss, actually. That's
Swiss.
I think Swiss and GB are the other two guys, two teams.
Yeah. Battling. The Swiss wagon will have a good chance of getting three in LA.
I think so. I honestly think GB could too.
Kind of the X factor, though, is because the Olympics is in the U.S., obviously the U.S. people throw fucking everything they have at it to get three spots. That's kind of like and there's just an extra motivation and carrot to have like a home Olympics, which you can't undervalue. I know, France is obviously going to be good regardless. I think there is some of that with France the last few years as well, knowing they have a host Olympics and everyone's stepping up and wanting to go, especially. Granted, they're going to have top guys no matter what, but I do think that makes a difference.
Do you think
they performed the last few years?
Yeah. Right. Like they put a lot of money into it in that last handful of years knowing it's coming.
Yeah, a lot of money and just a lot of like, I don't know, think about it. You're a pro. There's Olympics in Canada. Like that's going to, as extra motivation and extra, I don't know, gives you like an extra 1%, I feel like.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just trying to think like who's going to be the one to step up then to do that? Like who's going to be that X factor that brings that third person in for them? Like, I think there's big steps that need to be made on the World Cup circuit for USA to get three spots.
Yeah, I think they got two really good guys, but I don't think there's, I don't know. I mean, Jeremy could have a few good years and do it, but it's, yeah, he'll be 33, 34. So it's, you know, it's older.
Yeah.
But so I guess we haven't answered the question yet. Do you think it's a true headline or not?
I'm going no. Yeah, I think there's just too much. I think two's in the cards, 100%. I think there's too many countries that have too much experience of top riders that are going to continue for USA to bump them out.
Fuck it, I'm going yes. I think Team USA does. I think they get three spots. I just think they find a way somehow.
You're just an American guy now. You know, you live there. You're half Canadian, half American, part Finnish. It's all the above. I need to get a little American, like little theme song for... Or when we just cheer on our American fam.
Need a little Captain America song or something.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that's fair. That's good. Good job.
I just think they do it. Home Olympics, I think they do it.
Yeah.
Let's Team USA qualifies three women for 2028 Olympics.
Yes.
You almost think it's more likely, right?
I said that really quickly, and then I instantly was like, okay. Who is the women that's getting the three spots now? And are they going to be there to get the three spots in 2028? And I was like, whoa. I say Elise is going for 2028. Is that true? We don't know. Mm-hmm. I think Felicia continues, absolutely. And I do think she continues to be a front runner. So that's good. Mm-hmm. I think Peyton does the same. I think Delaney and Lexi, they still continue to get better. So... Mm-hmm. I don't see why they wouldn't. I'm trying to think of the other countries that who's going to beat them out. I think Holland, they obviously are very strong and they will be strong. I don't know who's the next country to battle for three people to get three spots. I don't think it's France. Yeah. I don't think it's GB. I don't think it's Colombia.
Yeah. Yeah, I think USA women get three for sure. I think stamp it.
I think they have to step up a little bit, like to get the three. If they lose their top front runner, absolutely. But
I think it'll happen. Peyton and Lexi are really young, though. Like they'll still get a lot better the next 4 years too.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm banking on in my head of why they think they get the three. Yeah,
but look how much them two have improved, especially the last 2-3 years. Like it's been notable.
Crazy how things change so slowly sometimes when you're in the world of it. Like, the change is so slow that you don't notice it changing until you look back and it's changed. Like Peyton being one of the girls that, like, is just, like, one of the girls getting points, going to the Osho kind of thing. Like, she's just in there. It's going to be, like, the Delaney and Lexi. Those, like, those three are going to be the ones in the finals getting all the points, not Felicia and Elise at one point, right? Like, eventually that's going to change over.
At some point, realize.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next one. France doesn't win a medal at the 2024 Olympics. Oh, can you imagine?
That would
hurt. Can you imagine?
Dude.
I don't even want to happen for them. They can't. They have too much talent. That can't happen.
I'm going to ask you a question one time. And whatever you say, I'll believe you.
Okay.
Is there any part of you that kind of wants to see them not win a medal, considering how big of like front runners they are, get to ride the track beforehand, host the Olympics, the whole thing? I'm going to be honest. In my opinion, yeah, there's a little part of me that kind of wishes they don't.
Little part, just a little bit.
A little part. You know, a little part.
No, I'm the opposite. I love stories of top guys doing staying at the top, like going through, like the Brady story. I love the Brady story, that kind of thing. I'm going off. France is those guys. Like, I want Romain or George. They're that guy right now. I want to see them come through and be like, holy shit, like they were that guy and they're still that guy and they did it.
I want to see Romain win. I honestly, I thought before the last Olympics, I knew he was fast enough to win, but like the year leading, I was like, I watched him a lot at the races and I knew that he didn't quite know how to win yet and didn't quite know how to handle that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, if he can figure that out and get some help and do whatever he needs to figure that out, he can be Olympic champion. And I know he has. And so like, as his friend and as just, I don't know, fan watching him, I really want him to win the Olympics this year.
Yeah, I agree. The reason why I said like it was an easy one for me, it was like, I like all the riders that they have that I think will be going. Of probably like the four front runners at this time, I think they're all good guys and I would like to see them get on a podium and get a medal. So you know it's what? Like, yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't really feel like being like, nah, I don't want to see it.
Especially like in terms of the guys, because we're friends with them all. It's like, Romain and Joris will be two of them going. And then whether it's Sylvain, Jeremy, Pills, whatever, those are all really good guys that I really like and I would love to see them do well.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they all don't medal though? Dude, that will probably one of the biggest disappointments in our sport history if they don't. If they don't win the gold, it's probably one of the biggest disappointments in our sport, considering how fucking good they all are, especially Romain and Joris leading into this. Like,
you have guys that were going shot for shot on World Cup wins. They were rolling. They swept the podium at the World Championships, let alone other World Cups. They were going five deep in a World Championship final. It's like, how could you not put like all your money on a French rider to win? Like if they don't, it's going to be sad. The funny thing is though, it's like, it's such a big race. It's the Olympics that it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. It's just going to be upsetting.
I think there's a very good chance Axel medals.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
true. Very good chance.
We're not going to see a thing from her. She's going to come to the race, one off and she's going to be on the podium. I
think she might win. To be quite honest with you.
Okay.
I think she might win.
I think that's my number one pick.
I can see her winning. I can see a scenario where she wins.
It's the Olympics, I guess. Anything can happen. You put her in a spot where she just pops one off in the final and that kind of thing. I guess I get that, but I think that's a little bit of a long shot.
Okay, so we disagree with this headline. We both think France will win a medal.
Yes.
How many men and women total?
I think two total. Could be two men. It could be one and one. But I think it's one of those two options happens. I don't think it's like a sweep. I don't think it's like four. I don't think it's three. I don't think it's like two men, one women. That's just so tough. The odds are against them kind of in that sense.
I think two. I think if they get less than two, it's a disappointment. Like even if they get one, I think it's a disappointment.
Yeah.
French guys never medaled at the Olympics.
That's insane to think about, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what, though? They weren't as strong in the past, though. Like the first couple Olympics, they weren't as strong as they are now.
Right. I get that. So it is tougher, but it's just like you look back on the handful of years that it's like, I would say what, at least 2018 onwards, like they've had multiple, mm-hmm. multiple dominant guys. And it's like, so you have the one Olympics where, well, the 2016, you would have banked on at least maybe one of them guys, like Joris grabbing at something, whatever. 2021, it was like one of them has to medal. And they didn't.
Honestly, so the 2016 Joris was a top guy, but he wasn't like he wasn't like a shoe-in to podium or anything,
no.
even at World Cups and stuff. Like, he wasn't the same rider he is now, even, I would say.
Yeah, he wasn't. He was like, he's a step ahead of people now. It wasn't then. Yeah, it was like he was sure. Joris and he was winning, but it wasn't with the dominance he is now.
So, all right.
Next headline.
Neek doesn't race to 2028.
I know Neek's getting like older, but he's not old by any means. So he's still a young guy. I think age-wise, I think he's well within range to go to 2028. Part of me feels like that's a stretch for him. I don't know. I feel like he's been running not on fumes lately, but he's not in it as much as he was when he was younger. So I kind of think no. That's a long ways away.
Does it kind of feel like he's not quite the same person or rider?
I think he's different, and that's, yeah, I think he's yeah. different. Yeah, but I don't, and when I say different, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think I view that as like, oh, he's worse. No, I just think he's different in the sense of he's not going to every single race like he was when he was a kid. He's not part of the Dutch team where they just go to everything, anything and everything, and run it as their team does. I think he's picking and choosing, living his life a bit more, trying to have a little more fun on the side. And I think that's probably, you know, it might be better for him in the long run. Like, he's enjoying it more, so maybe he does go further. I don't know now.
I kind of feel like he's at the point in his career where he's like, he's accomplished everything. He's accomplished the pinnacle, winning the Olympics. He's won the Worlds. He's won the World Cups title, whatever. He's done all of that. I think he needs probably some new motivation and something new to challenge himself and chase with. He's in such rare air where it's like, what do you really have left to do? He's 28 and he's done it all. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe chasing a USA BMX title would be good for him, and who knows? But I think he does, because he's not old, and I think he does go again. I mean, I don't know if this is any factor, but his girlfriend does live in like Southern California, and the Olympics are there, so I don't know if that makes any difference in things. But
he's turned into a SoCal guy now. You'll be right. He's turned into a SoCal guy now. So, that's kind of a crazy thing to talk about, how the fact is he really doesn't have anything more in a sense. Like, yes, he could change his path and say, I want to win the USA BMX title. And obviously, guys, like, he's a racer at heart, so you want to win anything and everything you can. So you want to win another world championships. You want to win another gold medal. Like, you just want to win again and again. But you're right. Like, what does he have to – he doesn't prove anything, obviously. It's nothing to prove. I don't think he goes for USA BMX title. I think that's a huge financial investment for him to do, for a very tough title to win, especially this late in his career where he's put all his efforts into supercross racing. So yeah, I don't know what he, I would love, we need to chat with him again. It's been a while. Like, chat, what does he want to do in the future? What's his goals at?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's false. I think he does race to 2028. What do you think?
I don't think he does.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he does. No.
Mariano wins gold and retires. What a fucking moment that would be.
I think all of Colombia would go in a week celebration for her if that happened. I think we might have to fly down to Colombia if that happened and just have a party for a week, dude. That would be crazy to be there if she did that.
I kind of was wondering if she might retire after the last Olympics. Clearly didn't. Yeah. Went for this one. We'll be going. I would think she probably retires sometime after these Olympics, be my guess.
Yeah. I think if she wins, she retires. I'm going to say that. If she wins, she retires. And I think that would be the coolest thing you could possibly do in the sport. But I think it's going to be very tough. Obviously, there are so many girls now that have stepped up their game. And Mariana's now dealt with injuries late in her career, and where she just feels like she keeps getting setbacks and setbacks. And it's like, at this stage, you don't bounce back as quick as you used to. That's the reality of life, right? So it's like, it's going to be really tough for her to do.
Just real tough. Really, I think tough. That I think she's in the main with a shot.
Yeah.
I think she gets in the main. She's got so much experience. She races so well at these big moments and knows how, just, she finds way to get it done. She doesn't need to have I don't know, be the fastest the first jump or something. Like, she'll just find a way. And I think she's in the main with a shot.
She's raced great this year too, hey? Like,
she has, dude. Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm saying yes. Hell yeah, she does.
You think she wins? Hell yeah.
Oh, yes, dude.
Love it.
Gold, gold, silver, gold, dude. Come on.
Oh my God, dude. What a career.
That would be, oh, hang her in the rafters. They're going to leave a jersey of hers in the rafters of Paris if that happens.
Fuck yeah. All right. Will Cam or, so this isn't really a headline, but I guess it's a headline. Will Cam or Isaac win a USA BMX title first?
Man, that's a toughie, hey?
Very tough.
Will Cam or Isaac win?
So you kind of got to think it'd be next year. Who the fuck's going to win it this year? I mean, wait, hold up. Who's going to win it this year?
Hold up. Wait a minute.
It's kind of a weird one. Kind of a weird little year here.
I think it's... Yeah, I'm going to be real. I think Larson wins it this year. I'm being 100% realistic.
Dude, to be honest, that's what I was actually going to say too. I think Larson does do it this year also.
I think he's in a position right now that he's hungry as ever. He's winning races right now. He's found it, and he's found speed, and we know he's fast on the flat hill. And I know Cam and Isaac have shown they can do it at the Grands, I think, especially Cam. But I think Larson stepped it up so much that it's like, I think he's in a new era, like a new era for himself. So I think he wins it, yeah.
He's really stepped up.
Yeah.
What he's doing now, I was kind of wondering. I was kind of thinking he might do it like a year and a half ago. Like after, actually, when was that? I kind of thought he was going to do it in like 2022.
Right. Yep.
After him and Joris battled the Grands in 21. But he's stepped up hugely. Like normal tracks, supercross kind of doesn't matter. He's the same rider everywhere. It's been cool to watch his progression. Answer S squared, get yours today. I think he does it this year. I do. I know we can't bet against JD, Mr. Six Time, but I think Larson does it. So we didn't answer the question though.
No, we'll get there. When it comes, I don't think JD's going for the. I don't think Joris is going for the title this year. I don't think so. I think he's done it so many times, dude. I think he's not done with it in the sense, but he's kind of over it. So I think Cam gets in there. I don't think Isaac's focus is the Olympics, obviously. So I don't know how much he's going to put into it. I don't know how many races or if there are enough races after the O show to get your points up before the Grand. So that's a huge one. Cause if not, Isaac is in a bad spot and Cam Wood's in a bad spot. So that's why I think Larson has the edge going in. And now if I step back and say, okay, who's going to win the title between Cam or Isaac, Cam Wood or Isaac, I kind of feel like Cam is because I think he's figured out the Grands already. I don't know why that is, but he's been great there. I just think he's figured something out.
I think he needs to race a little smarter overall.
The crazy thing is I think Isaac has that little bit of, I don't know, racing smartness.
He does.
He does. Isaac's like racing IQ Isaac a little is, bit. To,
he does.
Yeah, to yeah. get it Isaac done. Has an,
Isaac has an extremely high racing IQ and is a very intelligent racer. And I think Cam needs to like, the wording figure it out a little like with, but we talked about it before in Phoenix. But he needs to kind of figure out when to go for moves, when to not, and I think he needs to learn how to race a bit smarter. He's got the speed, he's fast as shit, he's obviously won a lot of races, but I think he's missing that still, and I think Isaac has it.
The odds, if you were a gambling man and to put your money on one of these guys to do it first, would be so tough.
But I in saying that, I think Cam does before Isaac too.
Okay, crazy. Gonna be yeah it'll have to be I think next year like we said, so someone record this and play it back for us then.
All right, it's all the future headlines. I love a few good future headline segment.
So good. We haven't talked about that, we haven't done any of those in a while, so I love that.
No, we haven't.
Yeah,
all right, we'll do it before we get to questions from the grandstands. Excuse me, we'll do a quick we'll do a quick coach's corner segment. So I posted this in my Facebook group this morning. My TNBMX training Facebook group, by the way, join for free if you like. On how to get used to new tracks at nationals, because I get this question a lot from riders, because obviously you go to a new track you've never been to, you have limited time to practice, and a lot of riders aren't used to getting used to tracking four laps. Like it takes a few laps to feel comfortable to start sending stuff and like trying skills and whatever. But by that time your practice is done, you might not have another chance. you don't get much practice at nationals these days either. You get like one sometimes. So there's a few different ways. So obviously if it's a track that's had nationals every year or like in the past, simple, just go on YouTube and watch races. It can help you get a mental picture of the track beforehand and help you know what to expect, see what lines riders are taking, see what they're doing on certain jumps, manualing, pumping, whatever. And it just kind of helps you have a picture instead of going in completely blind. Point two. So a lot of riders will go to the track before the practice, and generally everyone watches practice and looks at the track. But a lot of times people will just sit in the bleachers on the first straight and watch practice. I think it really helps to go walk around the track, get a whole 360-degree view of the track, look at different angles of the straightaways, look how the corners are set up, look at different jumps, look at the lips from different sides. Because, look, if you just look at the track from one side, it might look a certain way, but then you go up close to the rhythm section, you're like, oh, wow, this is actually like space different or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it can make a big difference. What do you think?
That's massive. I think, yeah, you talk about lines coming out of turns. If you're sitting from the side, you don't even get to see sometimes. You look at the bank coming off a turn, you see where the white line is, you see that there's actually extra space coming out of the first turn. That's something you might not even realize. And yes, maybe you ride it the first time and then you're like, oh shit, there's space. But like, it's nice to know that going in right away, because like you said, you don't have much time. So if you can find those extra little bits where it's like you can, let's say, figure it out on the first lap of your practice or your warm-up or the second lap instead of realizing it on the fourth or fifth where you're already kind of blown out, tired, you're not working on that spot. It's a big advantage, I think. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Last point too, like a lot of riders don't warm up and go into practice and then take a lap or two to warm up. If you only get four laps, you need to be pre-warmed up. So do a full warm up off the track, be warm and ready. So then when you get in the gate, you've watched videos at home, you've looked at the track from every angle, you have an idea of what you want to try and you're warmed up and you could just go out and start trying shit because you don't have time to warm up on the track. You don't.
There's no point in wasting energy just like doing a classic Tuesday night, like what you do at a Tuesday night practice warm up on the track. It's wasting your time. You're going to get halfway through practice and you're like, okay, I'm just starting to feel good. Now let me go do my straightaways and then rush up to the gate. No, it doesn't work like that. That's crazy.
Even in doing this, a lot of riders still feel uncomfortable with trying stuff right away. You can work on it at home. Like even if it's your local track, you know it really well, practice warming up off the track and then going on the track and kind of going fast right away, more or less. It can get you used to doing that and you won't feel so uncomfortable doing it at a race.
Yeah. It's crazy how much of a difference these things make if you do them all together, isn't it? Like you can hop onto a track and like you feel like your first lap of like, I think everyone often does like a slow lap first, you know, you're just getting on the track, feel the bike out a little bit, whatever. Everyone does that first lap, but sometimes if you warm up properly, that first lap, you're like, why am I wasting my time? Like I could have just floored it if I really wanted to and done a third straight here, done a last straight or something, right?
Yeah. So all those things combined can really help. Yeah. But it's also like, it's a skill. Like you get used to it. The more nationals you do, the more you just get used to snapping a gate the first time and you can do stuff right away. Like after a while, you can just watch one gate before you and then get in the gate and time it fine and then warm up on the, and it just, you get used to it. So. Yeah.
Got to practice this thing, so get it in.
All right, let's get into some questions from the grandstands. You have them? Or
I don't this time, no. Very unprepared today, James. Very unprepared.
Okay, here we go. Question. All right, first one. We'll start with this one. Little DBMX, does Cedric Cade's comeback at Rock Hill impress you? So I think he won all 3 days in 17-20.
Okay.
I mean, you want to go or?
I mean, no, it doesn't impress me. What am I?
No, I was gonna say he's always been fast. I don't think it's like some.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something like out of the blue. Like he's won a ton his whole life.
Yeah. I mean, you look at people like him or the major Marshall Gerke. Like those are two guys that are just next level talents who will come off the couch. As I think Cedric made a post. I think I unfollowed Cedric when he made that post. I was like, oh, what are we doing here? It's kind of funny. Anyways. Like if you're going to, it's like these guys can do it. It's like coming off the couch. Yeah, you can do that. Like you're that good, but you're still racing amateur. I mean, that's awesome for you. I think that's a great accomplishment, but are you really doing what you could be doing? You know, like, are you racing to your full potential? I don't think so. I think if you put a lot of more time and energy into it, you could be racing the pro class and competing with those guys. Honestly, I think your skill is that good. So.
I agree. Cedric's incredibly talented, and this could be a big year for him. I mean, he's second year junior. He's got a home world in the U.S. If he puts in the work and gets used to riding Supercross and really like prepares for the Worlds, he could go in there and win. And that's a huge title. I don't know if he's been training or what. But I hope he is, because he's a great rider and he can have a great career in this sport. So I hope he wants to, you know, like dedicate time and effort to it.
Obviously. It's a tough part about being in the U.S. and being an athlete of those guys' caliber. And I say those guys as I'll take Marshall. Like, I put them in the same boat because those are two guys I think who are BMX racers who are very at a high level in another sport as well, where there's probably more recruiting, probably more coaches, more schools, more money pulling them in that other direction, where they could be such a big talent in BMX, but there's not anybody really pulling them as hard in the BMX direction. So I hope they do, and I hope he does. I hope Cedric does go to the BMX route, because, I mean, from, like, how many years ago has he been, like, just super dominant and fun to watch? That I want to see what he can do in the pro class if he put everything into it.
He could be an Olympian. He's, like, that talented.
Yeah, easy, yeah.
Yeah. All right, from Nick Armitage, 123. If you only had to train on a 5-meter or 8-meter, like, base Saint-Saul on the Olympic track, I think he means, like, I don't really know exactly what he means. I think it means, like, what if you only trained on a 5 or 8 meter? I mean, you get really good on supercross, but you'd suffer on normal hills for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it goes both ways, right? You'd be suffering on both. Which one would you choose, though? If you had to pick one, you could only do one, what would you pick?
A normal or supercross?
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Probably a good normal track, because I think I was naturally pretty good on supercross, and I always felt stronger if I just rode normal tracks. So. Yeah. Probably a normal track. Tough to say.
You definitely, like, you wouldn't be worried about, like, the power out of the gate, which would be fine if you only rode on a 5 meter or the small track. But then you definitely probably would feel a little more uncomfortable ripping down the hill at that speed when you got in the pack. So it's like, it's a tough pick. Tough one. I'll take supercross, because if you're racing that all the time, you know, I'll take supercross.
You're right. Yeah, I changed my answer. I'll take supercross too. From Justin Green, how are they going to make that ugly roof look good on telly, Paris Olympic track? I think they'll find a way. Yeah. Paint it green or something.
You just got to make it look like a stadium, I think, and that's fine. High camera angle.
From Coco Ludlum 142, have the Olympic favorites for elite men and women changed after the first rounds of the World Cup? No,
not really. No, I'd say quite the same still.
Okay, here we're fun. A lot of track talk today from My Vinyl Collection too. What is the best track and worst track you guys ever rode on?
Oh, this is a tough question.
The worst track, Berlin 2014 World Cup, pour gasoline on it, light the fucking thing on fire, don't call the fire department.
That was terrible. Absolutely. I can't believe they raced a World Cup race on that track.
Joke of a track.
Would have been better off having a freestyle event on that track, I think.
Horrific.
Damn. What's the worst track I've ever raced?
You rode one worse than that one?
I'm trying to think. Well, you took that one. I'm not going to take the same one.
Okay.
I hate to... Yeah, I know. There's been some bad, like, tracks in South America I've raced. I raced a couple in Asia that were just horrific, dude. One of them, the gate was so fast, dude.
The one in Korea?
Like, oh, that one was brutal. It was in Hong Kong. That was a crazy bad one. There was one in Thailand. There's a couple in Thailand I raced, dude, that were just ridiculous.
Horrific.
Yeah, so okay. I'd say one of those there, yeah.
Best one?
Papendal.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Like a good 2017 Paps.
Yeah. Yeah, those years.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a good one.
What's another one?
Yeah, it's hard to... Obviously, that one's hard to beat.
It's the perfect first.
It was a really
straight,
good track too. Good, like the Paris, the first couple World Cups at Paris, those were that track was really good too.
Yeah, fantastic ones. Yeah,
pretty fair. Those ones are good. Yeah. From Will Hamilton, did you see the recent mountain bike slopestyle strike? And could something like it happen in BMX? No, I didn't see that. Do you know
anything? Yeah, the guys basically went on strike and didn't ride. I think I didn't look into it. I saw a post come across my desk, as they do, and it was I don't think they're upset. They're not getting compensated, I think, for being there. it's a classic thing. Like they pay their own way to go to these events and then they have to qualify into these events, I think sometimes. And then it's like BMX where then you have to earn your paycheck based off like your results, and they're not getting any compensation or support, I think, from Crankworks to go to these events and host this, when I think Crankworks probably makes more money, probably something like that. So they didn't, I don't think they rode the actual, they didn't race the event or ride the event. The girls did. Women had a slopestyle event, but the men didn't.
It's always the same story in sport or whatever. It's like the people that are putting it on make money and like, in like, you know, are happy with it. And then typically the people that are actually doing it, whether the athletes, the workers, whatever, aren't getting compensated or compensated well enough. And then they just get pissed off about it. Yeah. This happens like any level of sport. It pretty much happens.
100%. It goes in waves, I think, right? Every sport has their waves of like good, bad. They go on strike, gets better. It goes downhill. They go on strike, comes back, gets better. And yeah.
It gets to a certain point. And yeah, there have been a few strikes in BMX too.
I think it happens again eventually. Yeah. I think something happens.
I feel like BMX was real close to one like 2 years ago. I don't know how it just fizzled out, but 2 years ago, it was real fucking close to a strike at the World Cups. And it just kind of didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know why I feel like that way too. I don't think anything ever surfaced, but it felt like in the background, there was a lot of bullshit going on. I feel like, yeah.
There was a lot of like tension, I feel like.
It's so random.
When you were like, I think it was the point when like you and Laura were the rider reps. There was a lot of tension, not like with you guys specifically, but like in sport in general.
That the time when like there was a race where the amount of money they're making for that year round in like Zolder or for in Verona, was it was a joke.
They made like the guy made like $65 for first. Or
that's like 80 guys racing, made $60. What is this?
Oh my god, that was fucking unbelievable. Yeah. All right. I would love to see another strike, by the way. Would love to see
it. Picket fence, everything. Let's do it.
I know. Tim and have. Okay. Interesting. Racing on Saturday or Sunday? I mean, I don't really give a shit.
Saturday. I don't like Sundays. Okay. Sundays, it's God's day, you know? It's for watching football, Sunday playing golf, watching golf, that kind of thing, you know? So
Sunday's God's day. It's football. It's just, you know, we're in sweats.
That's how we do it.
There's just no better day than Sunday. You know? It's just, you know, it's great.
Every excuse to just sit on the couch and do nothing, because you know you got a big week ahead of you coming up. So if you sit there, you're like, I'm okay with it. I'll have a big week. I'll do stuff later.
I know. Ashton Brown BMX. With a lack of supercross tracks, do you think that Phoenix, Arizona will lose its place as a top BMX training center / area? I saw this one earlier. When was it exactly like a top training area? I don't think it ever...
That's the thing. I think the people there have made it seem like it's a good place to be, which it is. Good tracks, good whatever, good weather. But I don't think it's a top training state to be, like a city, like a facility. There's no facility there, right, for them. Mm-hmm. They have tracks and that's it. So I don't think it's a top one to begin with. So
I used to train there in some winters when I was first elite and I was living in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I'd go down for a few months in the winters. It was really good. Like you had a few tracks like Chandler. You had Black Mountain, obviously. Then you had AZ Pro Track, or it was called Estrella back then. But that one, and they also had Speed World Supercross one back then. They don't have it now. Yep. So it was like a really good place to train. Like you're pretty much guaranteed good weather, obviously, and whatever, like easy travel with the airport. There's no reason it couldn't be like a top training facility. I know the USA BMX headquarters were actually supposed, like the hardesty place was actually supposed to be in Gilbert.
Oh, no shit.
Southeast Phoenix. They had the area and everything. And I don't know exactly what happened, if like, didn't get city approval or the residents or something happened and they moved to Tulsa. I don't know why, but it was actually supposed to be there, which kind of almost makes more sense in my opinion. I don't know.
Kind of, but I think Tulsa's better for them because the weather would be tough to have people racing and training in the summertime there.
Okay. Well, it's the same thing. Hardesty. You have 3 months of really cold winter. So would you rather train in the hot summer or kind of the same thing? You know what? Here's the thing. Tulsa, it gets as hot as Phoenix. It just gets way colder in the winter. So think of it like that.
Really?
Dude, it was 110 last year when I was there. Okay.
All right. Well, then it really doesn't matter where you are.
No. So the same summers are hot as shit.
Yeah.
Except it's way more humid in Tulsa, but then you have a way colder winter. So it's probably better to train in Phoenix all year than Tulsa.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. All right. Fair enough. Then, yeah, doesn't really matter where it is, but yeah. Do you think Phoenix gets any better again for a training spot, training location? I don't think it changes. No. I think it's good and people continue to do it, but it doesn't change really.
No, I don't think it becomes. You need supercross tracks. If you want like a pro hotbed, you need supercross tracks.
Yeah.
That's why I think a big reason why Florida is so sought after.
Oh, yeah. That's what Tom Johnson just mentioned, too. It's like, yeah, Tulsa offered the more money, I think. Ah, George, our guy Vic, George Vic says Tulsa's not as hard as AZ in the summer. Come on, T. Come on.
Yeah, okay. Okay, 5 degrees difference. well, here's the thing. Would you rather have 110 humid or 115 dry? I think I'd pick the 115 dry.
Probably, too. Yeah, probably.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I'd pass on average, both, so. On average, it's probably not quite as hot, but it's hot as shit Oklahoma in the summer, too. Yeah. I was going to say something. I just lost my train of thought.
That's too bad.
What was I going to say? I was going to say something. No, can't remember. Good try. Do we got any more? We got any more in here?
Oh, if we don't have any more, we should. I got to mention GB guys sweep at the air round. I mean, that's pretty cool. Good, cool for them. Kai is on a tear right now.
Oh, he's looking real good.
He is trending fantastically right now. So
holy yeah, he looks really fast.
And I think him and Ross too. I think Ross looks great right now. Like you keep an eye out for those two guys right now.
Certified blokes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Kai is shaping up at the right time.
Yep. It's crazy. Some guys know how to do it. He seems to be knowing how to do it. So
Progate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Hi, White. Great starter in a Progate Europe. Yes, you're pointing.
I would just mention on the pod for the foreseeable next 2 months, there will probably be, I know there might be an evening pod. There might be a live evening pod still. Nothing. We'll cancel that. Cancel any thoughts I might have just had. There might still be a live evening pod. Okay, continue where you're at, T.
We had some people laugh at the bleeping out of Ryan's segment last show. We also had a lot of people reach out, like saying that was the best interview of the year or one of the best they've heard. Fans love Ryan. I mean, and what's not to like? And not only is he really talented, but he's fucking hilarious and just a great chat. So we actually like, we get feedback from a lot of shows, but there's certain shows we get way more. We got a lot of good feedback from this one.
A lot of good one. That was great. And people loved, dude, I loved it. I listened to parts back too. When I was editing, I'd listen to half it back. I think when I was editing it, like unreal.
Yeah, he's good time. So go back and listen to the Ryan show from last week if you're interested.
All right. That's
snap
it.
On green.
Snap on green, everybody. Talk to you later.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.